It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's for bro on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. The bad seed, the broken, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct from traffic, some kind of fashion check it up should do be. Along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the founder of the LC podcast, the rights holder of the Sheet of Integrity, and the Put It With the Golf guru, particularly during Masters Week. It's Carver High this afternoon, ladies. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a terrible towel Tuesday. We've got a double shot with Morenci from British Columbia. And we have Mike DeCourcy. We also have the sportsbook consigliere Dave Sharapan today on the show. So it is all happening. Even a slice of Smiley, I believe, in the midst of all this chaos. Well, we watched it last night, Mike. I hate to be right, but the Gators got it done. I think I said to you and Coach, they win championships and Houston doesn't. And that's six times now they've gone and lost in the championship. And that's another banner for the folks in Gainesville. Number three, they won in 06, 07, and they win in 25, and they get it done by two, laying one in a hook. Either would have covered. They got it done. They led for, what, a minute eight in the game? That was it? They basically got their ass beat the whole game, and there was, bottom line, a massive, crazy disparity in fouls. First half, four. Second half, I believe 25 fouls were called. But when it mattered most, they made the stops. The last two possessions for Houston were disastrous, and the Gators are champs.
Yeah, happy, of course, Tuesday for us here on Coast to Coast. The funny part was I didn't like that. Four fouls in the first half, and then calling the game completely differently in the second half. That, I got a problem with that. Either call it the same way the whole night or don't. So I didn't like how the game kind of
flipped everything.
Halftime. But that's what refs do. They always ruin the games for you. Look, I think this was super impressive by Florida. I think we knew they were a very good team, but we were all kind of waiting around for, they're eventually not going to win one of these games. They kind of struggled and were down against UConn. They won the game. Texas Tech, they were down. Auburn, they were down. Now this Houston game, they were down. And they give them credit. I mean, they won every single one. They won. They came back and won.
They got
every
it done.
Single game, and they got it done. Clayton was awful in the first half. Hit some shots. Richard hit big shots, and they ended up getting it done. And Houston piked. Just like Duke piked. Not as bad as Duke did on Saturday night, but Houston had.
You could argue it was the same thing.
You could absolutely. I think that Duke Moore had the. I feel like on Saturday night, Duke Moore gave Houston the game than Florida did. I thought Florida took it last. I've had a little bit more of a feel of Florida.
That's fair. They took it. And
yeah.
They were down 12. I think Houston was down 14. They were a little bit different. One was with 8 minutes left. The other one was kind of an entire second half, right? And the fact is, I just couldn't believe what I was watching. I really couldn't. They called so many fouls and the two technicals. It's weird. I think they had 10 fouls. I think Houston had 19 fouls. But then, you look at the free throw disparity. The bottom line is the Gators hit their free throws, and they had talked about how Houston had practiced all year so they wouldn't lose by free throws. But you could say they lost by free throws. They missed free throws. They shoot 60% from the line? And then I think Florida shot 81% or something from the line. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. Like, I watched the game like you did. I just saw them miss more free throws. And at the end of the day, they got – I thought that, frankly, I know this is going to sound crazy. I thought Florida was getting shafted by the calls. And I thought the techs were, for me, unnecessary. And then at the end of the day, they actually screwed Houston more on foul calls than they did Florida. So I was watching the game going, man, they are just giving Houston every call. But that wasn't the case. They got 19 fouls called against them. And, I mean, the bottom line, I think, I don't know how many it was in the second half, but it was 25 fouls in the second half. At the end of the game, they had 19 of them to 10. So it was Houston that basically got screwed. But when I was watching it, you tell me, Mike, when you were watching that game, because we really didn't have bones in it, I bet on Florida, laid one. I didn't care. I hate Florida and everything my whole life. I didn't care. I wasn't rooting for Houston either in the game. I was just rooting for the game to be great, right? And I thought it was. But when you were watching the game, did you think they were getting shafted, or do you think Florida was? When you were watching it and these refs and how badly they changed at halftime, who did you think was getting screwed?
Look, I think that in the early portions of the second half, it seemed like there were a lot more calls on Florida. And I think it almost felt like after the 10-minute mark, they realized how egregious it was and started to make up call the other way. It kind of did feel that way going forward. As far as the free throws were, Florida, I've got here, is 17 of 21, and Houston 9 of 14. So Florida shot 81% from the line. Houston shot 64% from the line. And that'll do it for you every single time. That's enough to win by two. And they absolutely got that done. So we will spend some time today saying goodbye to that. Florida wins a national championship. Right. How about this Michael Malone stuff?
This is unbelievable.
Last week of the regular season, Denver's got three games to go. This guy's won an NBA title with them a few years ago. We know they've lost four in a row coming down the stretch here, but the Nuggets chop. Michael Malone is the head coach. They got rid of the GM booth, too, cleaning house. I mean, they could be win their last three games. They could be the three seed on Sunday night.
I have to say, you and I, you ran the clip. Yeah. It was almost like he dug his own grave. He said in that clip, I am not doing my job. I am not doing a good job. We are not winning, and it is on me. I have got to somehow get this team back and save this team, because right now we're a mess, and it's my fault. And then, a day later, they fired him. And this makes, the Jenkins firing non-existent. We thought that was bad. What was that? With 9 games left, they do this guy and the GM with 3 games left. I got to tell you, I think it's a mistake. At this point, I do believe that this will cost them their season. They're not going to are they going to have a dog coach them now during the playoffs? Who's going to coach them? Is Joker going to be the coach? I don't understand why you do that with 3 games left before the playoffs. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't care what he's done. The guy had won a championship. He's been the coach of the year. Now all of a sudden he sucks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 Eastern on all of our TV and radio outlets. You catch Morenci every day with us. Double shot from Vancouver here on C2C. How did it go last night with the YouTube broadcast during the game, and what did you think of the game?
Well, it was quite the game, wasn't it? I think last night's call was a case in which a game doesn't have to be high scoring to be entertaining. Right. It was an entertaining basketball game. It was competitive. It wasn't the prettiest game, but it was old school, right? I mean, that's what these championships used to be like, you know, 60 to 58, 65-63, etc. But I don't like to use this term very much, Scott, but I still can't believe Houston didn't win. They were the better team. Like, they did everything they had to do except in the final 2 minutes.
Except
they absolutely, I don't like to use the choke word, but there's no other way of saying it. Dude, they had like 5 empty possessions in a row at the end. And it was LJ Cryer. He just lost control, Scott. Absolutely lost control. There was an instance, they were up by 3. They're up by 2 or 3. They could have got another lead. I don't know if you remember, he stepped on the baseline.
Yeah.
And there was no one under the basket either. It looked like he was going to score. He steps on the baseline out of bounds, unforced error. Next possession, he goes down and he finds himself lost under the paint. And he just sort of throws, he tries to pass the ball to nobody. He tried an incredibly hard, sort of one-handed, sort of shot put shot once in traffic. Then the other kid kicked the ball out of bounds going down the court, Scott.
Yeah.
And then they double dribble. They don't get the 3-point shot off. I mean, there's no other way of saying this besides, guys, like, you lost. They didn't win. You lost. And you talked about the free throws. You know, you only missed 5 of them. Well, you lost by 2. They only missed 3 of them. You lost 5.
They made them. You didn't.
Yeah. It's like you had the game. Like,
what did you think of the refs?
I thought it was kind of strange. I mean, I thought they did a good job in the first half of just letting them play, Scott. I mean, that was the whole thing to me, like, for Houston. I thought Houston was going to have a chance if the refs were going to let them sort of really play, and they did. And you saw that in the first half. And then in the second half, I don't know if, you know, a memo came in, Scott, if a call came in to the refs. Like, who's the boss? Like, the NBA, I get it. The NHL, I get it. Who's the boss of, like, the NCAA refs? I don't know. Like, is it the commissioner? No. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? So I don't really, is the commissioner of the NCAA going to call in at the half and go, you're not calling enough fouls?
But I don't think they have a commissioner.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who are the NCAA? Like, who would be the one to tell the refs? But, Scott, it was like it was 2 different crews. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it was like, yeah, we had a new refereeing crew in the second. I was like, whoa, you guys are calling this completely different than you were in the first half.
Well, people have said that, you know, I've seen both sides of it. Like, people have said, you know, games can be different in each half and calls can be different in each half. And they were. The first half, they let them play. The second half, when the title was on the line, they didn't. It got real sticky. They called everything. I mean, it went from 4 to 25. 25 calls.
Oh, it was wild. It was wild how the game changed. And listen, the pace picked up would actually help Florida as well once things started to get more chaotic. But, like, really, Scott, if you look back on it, I mean, Florida missed a lot of shots. Like, even with the game on the line, Houston had numerous opportunities to finish them off. They were up 60 to 57, man. Right? You got outscored 8-3 in you know, the last 11 points of the game. It was actually whatever, dude. It was deja vu all over again, Scott. Houston had what happened to them, what happened to Duke, bro. You know what I mean?
I had, like, so
Duke
I
were
said
up. It was like, what the hell happened? It was the same thing.
I said yesterday that it reminded me of the USA hockey team in 1980. They had to still go play another game. I think Houston, I said yesterday, I go, they think they've won the title because they beat Duke, but they still have to play a really good team. And I said, that's a team that wins titles, and they're a team that doesn't. And they still get it done, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah, but they didn't lose because of a Duke hangover. They lost because they got tight with a national championship on the line with a minute left.
Fair enough, but they did get tight, and they did blow it. They beat Duke. You got to go finish the deal. Here's the deal. I'm telling you. So I'm at Indiana in 87. When they beat UNLV, they had no business beating UNLV. UNLV was the best team in the country, and Indiana beat them. They still had to go beat Syracuse. And they were down 13 with 3 minutes to go. They had no business winning because they thought they won the national championship when they beat UNLV, but they still got it done and beat Syracuse, came back and stunned them on the smart shot. Houston thought they won the title when they beat Duke. All they had to do was go handle their business, and they didn't.
Yeah, but Florida are a damn good team, right? Listen, man, the NCAA tournament is the most random you can win the NCAA tournament. No, you're not necessarily the best team. And almost every team that wins the NCAA tournament, for the most part, there's a lot of luck involved, right? Look, when Virginia. Yeah. Virginia won the title. Dude, there were a couple of games, man. Like, they were tied with 1 second left. Ball's going out of bounds.
Never easy.
Dramatic. Michigan winning in 1989. They won because of a bad call. Ramil Robinson hits a free throw. It's a one-point game. It comes down to a shot or two. Right? It comes down to a shot or two, and the kids on Houston just didn't have it. No one really wanted the ball laid on Houston. Cryer was their guy, but he lost control. He was playing, it was Cryer against the world, and everybody on Houston sort of stood around and watched him play offense by himself for a couple of possessions. And then later, they kicked the ball out of bounds. And then, it was just too egregious not to get the shot off. You got 19 seconds. You got a lot of time, and the play was just bad. They had nothing called. Cryer was pinned back late. Like, whatever shot they were going to get off, it was going to be a bad-looking shot, right? Like, they didn't.
I'm surprised he even got the ball to Sharp when he was trapped over by the sideline. I thought he was going to get jump ball, or I thought he was going to turn it over. I thought it was a hairy pass, and then the guy blew the, he would have walked, so he went up with the ball, couldn't get the shot off, and dropped the ball. He couldn't touch it. I've seen that a million times playing basketball. You're not allowed to touch the ball. So I thought
he should have touched the ball, though, right after to stop the clock. They would have been screwed.
Their last two possessions were ass. They were really bad.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're talking to Morenci. You can catch Sports Rage every night at 10 Eastern. And I have to ask you what you thought of the bloodletting in Denver today with Malone and the GM getting fired. And then your thoughts on these two big games tonight, Boston and the Knicks at the Garden. The Celtics have owned the Knicks this year, just killed them. And then the Lakers are playing at Paycom again, back-to-back against OKC. And the Lakers stunned them on Sunday. That line is gigantic today, 15.5 with Oak City laying. What do you think of those two games and the Malone and GM firing?
Well, you know what? Anybody who's been following the Denver situation, it's been pretty chaotic and pretty messy behind the scenes. Very similar to Memphis, in which you could see Jenkins just sort of lost control of the room. You've got guys fighting on the sidelines. Nobody's listening to him when he talks. God knows what's going on off the court in Denver as well. Listen, I know that Jamal Murray's been frustrating people. He's not playing, but he's seen, he's out at the casino all the time. Like, they're losing. He doesn't seem to care very much. Jokic is doing his thing, and it's like an insane asylum around him. You saw multiple players, like, it's been constant. These guys are chirping and chirping and chirping on the bench. And listen, Malone is sort of like a, I don't know, he's kind of like a Tortorella type, right? I mean, is there a more sort of over-the-top NBA coach than Malone? As crazy as it sounds, Scott, it's strange. Like, he got rid of the GM as well. I don't really have a problem with it now in the sense that if they knew, you know what, we're going to fire this guy. Like, we got to make changes in the offseason. Why waste the playoffs, right? I mean, clearly, I do believe, Scott, that, and I don't know, I can't speak for Denver Nugget players, but the relationship was lost, right? It's gotten to the point where they weren't listening to him. They've tuned him out. They're fighting with each other. You need some sort of, like, if they go, they were just going to fizzle out in the playoffs the way things were going right now. Maybe they get a shot in the arm. It's Adelman's son, Rick Adelman's kid. I was like, Adelman, what the hell? Is this guy like 100 years old, but it's his son?
Is that David who's gonna Adelman. Coach him?
Yeah, he's an assistant on the team, former head coach Rick Adelman. It's his son that'll take over now. So I don't know, Scott, it's almost like, a college team getting that shot in the arm when a new coach going into the tournament or something. They weren't going to win the way things were going, bro. Like, they were getting into fist fights. Like, they're fighting in the room. They're fighting on the bench. As I stated, there's a lot of animosity between the players on that team. I'm not going to pretend that I'm in the room, but the Nuggets are sort of one team that I've heard a lot of things about this year of it's just constant behind the scenes with these guys. This happens, Scott. You win a title, right? He got everything they could out of them, and now everybody sort of, gets a little bit of attitude. You saw with the Philadelphia Eagles, even. The Eagles admitted, after they won that Super Bowl with Foles and stuff, they were like, man, we're not the same team anymore. We got a lot of Eagles in this room. And they had to reflush it, so to speak, and retool it. They're lucky Jokic isn't a complainer like everybody else in the NBA is, though, Scott, because this guy, you could argue that his career is suddenly getting wasted with a bunch of head cases on this basketball team. But I don't hate it, Scott. They were going to let him go anyways. They were going to lose anyways in the playoffs. So now maybe with a new voice, a guy that they don't hate in the room, maybe it gives them a shot in the arm, actually. I actually don't hate it for the Nuggets.
All right, Lakers and Thunder tonight, Knicks and Celtics.
Well, as you stated, the Knicks, struggle, obviously, against these top-tier teams. This point spread almost feels like a trap, doesn't it? I'm going to have to go with the Boston Celtics here, Scott. So I'll take the plus
one. It just moved to Knicks minus one.
Yeah, it was two, right? And I'm like, really? What am I missing here? Like, who's not playing for Boston? They seem to have everybody. So it's early today in the NBA still. And the Lakers getting 15.5 tonight. Man, that's a lot of points, Scott. But once again, so like who's not playing for the Lakers? And I guess there's LeBron and Luka are both supposedly playing. And Austin Reeves is playing tonight. So why wouldn't we take the 15.5 points? That's too many points.
Right. I'll tell you this quick story. So I'm at the Knicks game the other night. I'm right by the benches and right under the basket, right? And I could see them in their timeouts. And Budenholzer literally on multiple occasions in that game had timeouts where he and his staff stood away from the team. They sat in the chairs and they were 10 feet away from him and never spoke one word to the team. They don't listen to that guy for 1 second. He's not even welcome in their huddle. Three times I watched him do a timeout where he never spoke one word to the team. He's finished there.
You want to learn about an NBA team, guys? Go sit behind a bench and watch what goes on during the game. You're bang on, Scott.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Extraordinary coverage from Mike DeCourcy in San Antonio. Great columns. Great on our show last week going into the weekend for the Final Four and the Alamo Dome. And then he was there, obviously, last night for that crazy game, that crazy finish. And you wrote about that last play from the minute it started to how, bottom line is, the guy that was the MOP, the scorer, the guy that does all the buckets, was actually the guy that played the best defense and made the play to ruin it for Houston and Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, I found it really interesting that he was able to do that. And I will tell you that it all happened so fast that a lot of us at courtside were like, who was that that flashed? Who was that masked man who flashed out and challenged the shot from Emmanuel Sharp and forced him to basically abandon the shot and it ended up failing? I think in the moment, if Emmanuel had it to reconsider, he would have gone ahead with the shot. It would have been better off to have been blocked. It may have come back to him, may have gone out of bounds. Deciding to let go of the ball and let it fall to the floor, and therefore it would have been a violation if he had picked it up, that was the worst possible decision in that moment. But what Kelvin Sampson was disappointed in was that if Emmanuel Sharp had pump faked there, right, there's no way that he could that Clayton could have stayed in the play. It would have been an open shot for Sharp, and that was his disappointment there. But that's the nature of those last minutes, and it's also the nature of having the great players, Scott. When we went into the Final Four, we said the pros were at Duke, obviously, and then secondarily at Florida. And you saw the difference. After the game, about 45 minutes to an hour after the game, Kelvin Sampson stood with a lot of reporters surrounding him and talked about how his team was built to win this tournament, how hard it is, but his team was built for it because how together they were and how mature they were and how tough they were. And he was right about all that. But they weren't built to win it because they weren't talented enough. You just have to have better players. You can't win it with good college players. You win it with pros who are good college players. And I don't mean pros because everybody's getting paid now. I mean guys that are going to the NBA. They're right. Going to be first-round picks. It's what won it for four decades now. And Houston did not have those guys.
And Florida had two of them at least.
Yes. Yes. Walter Clayton, fantastic player, right, who the and NBA scouts Richard are starting to catch on to. And I think Thomas Hauk he showed last night. I mean, he's a first-round guy. That finish he had, 12 minutes left, 12 and change, he gets fouled on the break and invents a twisting layup that would have been
been
flattering to Julius Erving. Now, I'm not saying he's Julius Erving, but that play, Julius would have been proud to hang that one on the wall.
It was like a backwards finger roll.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. I talked to him afterward. He had no idea what he'd done. He just was trying to get up there. But that's what the great players do. That's what the really gifted players do. They make plays that others can't conceive. And Thomas was a huge hero in the Texas Tech game. They're nowhere near last night's game if it weren't for his three-pointers at the end of Texas Tech. Those two guys were the reason that they won it. And that's how it almost always works, Scott. It's just you have to have those guys. And interestingly, a year from now, Houston will have those players. They've got two McDonald's All-Americans coming in. One of them's a top 10 prospect. They'll have that talent, and they will lose Jawan Roberts, and they'll lose LJ Cryer, but they will have back Francis. They will have back Sharp. It's still a really strong team, and now they're talented enough. A lot of people after last night's game were saying, well, this was his shot. No, it wasn't. Next year's the shot. Next year's when he's got the guys. We'll see if they come together in the same way that this team did, but they may not need to come to get quite as together as this team was, because every now and then they'll have guys who can talent their way past it.
Right. What about the Boozer twins going to Duke? Like, they're going to be better, too. They might be better than they were with this team.
They might. It's going to be harder, though, because Boozer is a terrific player. But Cooper Flagg was generational. And when one says generational, we don't really mean generational. We mean, like, maybe once a decade. And that's what Cooper is. I think that Boozer is fantastic. And he's going to be an excellent player. And they may be a better team. It depends on what they do at point guard. They weren't strong at point guard this year. They were passable. And Sion James did a lot of good things, but you saw at the end the weakness there, why it mattered. He couldn't get the ball in bounds. He couldn't generate offense. They had to once again go Cooper Flagg too often one-on-one with Jawan Roberts. So we saw the weakness there. they've got to get better at that spot if they want to win this thing next year.
I thought James had some sloppy moments in that game on Saturday that he looked lost. But let me ask you about, because, you know, during a game, I don't know if you caught it or not, but I was like responding to you as you were tweeting about the refs. And I was like, you know, I don't know if you saw my tweet that my dog could ref this game better. Now, I don't want to insult anyone by name, but I don't understand. Like, what was your thoughts on the four fouls in the first half? That's impossible. And then in the second half, they called 25 fouls. Like, I was like, what is happening here?
That was very poor. It was a very poorly officiated championship game. And one of the wonders of last night's game was that it superseded, that it rose above the terrible officiating in that game. Four fouls in the first half was a joke. Look, it's not like it was in 2000 when you were allowed to do whatever, and Cincinnati took advantage of that, Michigan State took advantage of that, and I'm not condemning them because they played to the way the game was officiated 25 years ago, but you can't do those things now. And Houston plays a very rugged style of basketball, but not like that because they know they can't. But they don't ever play 20 minutes without fouling more than three times. It's just they can't. They're much too physical. I saw illegal screen. I saw one illegal screen that looked like the guy's head was going to come off, and they didn't call it. And I knew right then where we were headed for that period. And honestly, in some ways, it was almost hypocritical to do that and then come back in the second half and call everything, and including several fouls that weren't committed. And I thought that, in particular, official Doug Sermons had a terrible second half. And one of the calls that I thought were really poor, when Todd Golden lost it on it and probably went out of the coach's box or whatever, right. Sermons was right in front of me, 45, 50 feet away, and called a tech on him. And
I know.
I did not think that was a strong performance by him. The officials at the Final Four have to do better. Because the players and the teams are giving everything. How about the officials giving everything as well?
How about they brag about before the game? They brag about how many big games they've reffed, and then they go out and butcher that game. Like, I was like, I don't care how many times you've been in it. If you suck, you suck. It's that simple. I couldn't believe the texts that they were throwing, and I couldn't believe the second half. It was like I was watching an NBA game. They'll blow the whistle 7 million times in a regular season game. And I'm like, this is so boring. I'm going to bed. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to bed. But it ended up being, at the end of the day, a fantastic finish, I thought. Like, here they came back. They stole the game. They got it done. They won their third national championship. And once again, Houston fails. And you've done what now? Did you say 35 of them?
This is my 35th, yes. And I heard from some people that I respect today saying that they thought the ending was kind of a dullard, but we never seen anything like it before.
It was great.
How can you be upset about unique?
It was great, Mike. Great job.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, back with Carver High after we talked to Gabe and Mike DeCourcy. Let's relive it. Florida's win for the national championship, Mike.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that? Of course, 65-63 was the final last night. Cougars had a chance. Of course, they had a couple of possessions in the final seconds. Problem is, Scotty, He can get a shot off. Here's the final one on Westwood One Sports.
Fire staring at Will Richard. Hands it off now to Uzan. Uzan on the right-hand wing. Stops with 7 seconds. Gives it to Cryer. 6 seconds to go. 5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball. 65-63, the final. The Florida Gators are the national champions once again.
Yeah, I don't think that dude knew what he was talking about. He said he got to pick it up. He can't pick it up. You cannot touch that ball. It's automatically a turnover, and the game's over. I thought he called it wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about. He's a great play-by-play guy. I don't even know who it is. Calling a great game, but he didn't know the rule. He didn't know what he was dealing with there. That was a walk. You touch the ball, that's it.
He didn't know the rule. I agree there in that spot, and that's Kugler who does Westwood 1 with the Final Four.
I don't
four.
Care who it is.
But you know what I thought about it? There was one thing where – maybe he should have just for this. The clock's just running down. Like, at least if you touch it, it stops the clock and you can foul them with maybe 4 or 5 seconds left. And I'm trying to extend the game at that point as much as I can.
If I think that's what James said. Touch the ball, right, and then you're going to get 2 free throws.
Yeah.
Because there were already 25 fouls called. They were both in the double bonus. You're shooting two up to... You make one, it's automatic. You have to shoot a three, full court pass, inbounds. You make both, the game's over either way. I think in that moment the game was so intense, and it was such an F up moment to go up to shoot, couldn't shoot, and had to drop the ball, knowing I have seen it happen in games. I've been in games where it's happened all the time. That same, you know, defensive move to block a guy, and he's going up to shoot, and he knows he's not going to get the shot off, and he drops the ball and tries to avoid it being blocked, and he knows he can't touch it again. I've seen it happen a million times. I just haven't seen it in a, you know, NCAA championship game in the last second.
Yeah, it was a weird play. But the clock goes down and the Gators win it. Third national title for Florida. They only led for 1 minute and 4 seconds in the entire game. But they end up getting it done. Here is head coach Todd Golden on the turnaround in the second half.
At halftime, just looking at the numbers, the only thing that really stood out that was a big issue was our turnovers. And I thought we had some uncharacteristic turnovers. I thought some of those, majority of those 9 turnovers were not forced. You know, they were just, you know, either poor decisions or being sped up offensively. And, you know, we just needed to kind of calm down. Obviously, Houston is the best defensive team in America by the numbers, and we knew it wasn't going to be easy to score on them. We still weren't able to get up and down too much in the second half, but we scored 37. We were able to knock down our free throws. And we just took much better care of the basketball.
Listen, I can't believe where this guy's come from, Columbia, to winning a national championship at his age. I mean, he's going to be rich. He already is, but now he's really going to be rich. Once you win that thing, it's all over. You know what he is, basically? He's on the same footing, no one will agree with this, but with Tom Izzo. He won a title. That's it. That's all Izzo has is one. This kid's already got when he's 39.
Yeah, he's 39. He's going to be 40 in July, so he's already got himself a championship. He's the youngest coach to win the tournament since Jim Valvano. Yep. Youngest coach since they expanded to 64 teams. So what a victory for Golden. Here he is talking about this said subject, being the youngest coach.
I mean, I'm super proud, obviously, but... I'm just a piece of this puzzle, you know. I've been able to put together incredible staff and recruit great student athletes over these last 3 years. And, you know, we've stayed the course all year and worked really hard. And, you know, my best answer is I'm just really proud. You know, I'm proud to be the head coach of Florida. I'm proud of the way our players
so
performed.
Proud.
And I'm proud of the way our staff prepared our guys to become national champions.
Listen, this guy was he's the youngest, B, he's Jewish, C, he was at Columbia, he was nobody, D, he went to Florida, and he's been accused of all kinds of you know, Title IX and harassment, sexual accusations against him. He got cleared of all of that, and then still, in the midst of all that, went out and won a national championship. I mean, it's like a movie.
It really is, when you think about it, with what he's done. Todd Golden and the Gators back on top. Walter Clayton Jr. wins the tournament's most outstanding player. He was excellent, of course, throughout their entire run. Clayton Jr., Will Richard, LJ Cryer, Juwan Roberts, Cooper Flagg were named the all-tournament team. Congratulations to them. And Florida is the only champion in the last 20 years to overcome a deficit of 9 or more points in the Elite Eight, the National Semis, and the title game to go on and win it. Amazing job by them in all of those games. Out of all three of those wins, I'm not going to lie to you, the Texas Tech one is the one they won. I thought they had, I can't believe they won that
game. They were down 10.
Texas Tech yacked that up.
I can't believe they won that game. But look, I had them to go to the Final Four, and I still can't believe they got to the Final Four. And, you know, they should have lost to Texas Tech, but they didn't. They should have lost to Houston, but they didn't. Nope. Simple as that.
It's simple as that. And there is always, of course, a loser on the other side. We'll hear from Kelvin Sampson when we come back on not getting a shot in the last two possessions, not even getting an attempt to try to tie that game or take the lead. We'll hear from Sampson and then give you the odds for next year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
I'm still trying to figure out why, but we always like to hear from the losers.
Well, look, you know, it is what's the end of the season. You know, it's a long road for everybody, including the loser, especially for Kelvin Sampson, who took a very long time to get to this moment, and now back to the drawing board. Here he is on the tough loss.
I told our guys after the game to be disappointed you lost, but do not be disappointed in your effort.
Words to live by.
You know, defending Florida is difficult. They got a really, really good team. Coach Golden runs great schemes over there, but, you know, we guarded them. We held that team to 65 points. I thought if we held Duke to under 70, we'd have a good chance to win. And I felt like if we held Florida under 70, we'd have a good chance to win. We found a way to win. Tonight, maybe not so much.
I'd say not so much.
You got that
not
right.
Not so much. And then how about not getting a shot on the last couple possessions? I mean, come on, Coach.
Yeah, I'm just going through those last two possessions more than anything else. You know, it's incomprehensible in that situation. We couldn't get a shot. Got to get a shot. We're down two, and obviously we didn't need a three.
So this is my worst recurring nightmare. So I go to these high school games of my daughter Chop, and they constantly have possessions with no shot. I mean, just like 15, 20 times a game. And I'm like, when I get in the car with her after the games, I'm like, you guys don't even get a shot off. You're so awful. Like, you can't even pass it and someone chucks a shot. Like, even a bad shot, can I get any kind of shot? Is there anything worse in basketball than watching teams that need to get a shot off and they can't even get a shot off? Like, there's nothing worse. Like, you know you suck when you can't get a shot off. And, you know, you can tell that's what upset him the most. They had two possessions in a row with no shot at winning, no shot at taking the lead, no shot at all. Like, you have no shot, you can't win. Like, I'm watching this kid play ball, and I'm like, you guys don't even get a shot off. Like, that's how horrible you are. You pass the ball around until you make a mistake. You've heard me off-air, what I call it. I can't even say it on the air. I'll get fired. What I call that offense, that scheme where they pass it around. You know what they do? They do that at middle school and grade school, pass it around until somebody drops it out of bounds. They don't even get a shot off. Like, they pass it 9 times. Is there anything worse? I need 1 or 2 passes, a cut in a bucket, and a shot. I don't even care if they miss. You got to get a shot off. You don't get a shot off, you see what happens, you lose.
You lose. You got to get some better shots. There's no question about that. All right, a coast-to-coast tradition unlike any other. The day after someone wins a championship, we got to already go and look at who's the favorite for next year, and it is Duke, of course, with the Boozers coming in, 10-1 for them. Then Houston, Louisville in the three-hole. Purdue, Kentucky, BYU with that kid that they're going to pay like $7 million to. They're on the board.
I like them. They got a shot.
On Arkansas, Kansas. I will let you know, a couple that aren't on that list. Let's see here. UConn, 18-1. Florida, the defending champions, 25-1. Gonzaga 30-1, UCLA 30-1, Indiana 50-1 on the big board going into next year.
His first year in Bloomington DeVries. Look, Duke and Houston are going to be the two best teams in America. I think the rest of that list is a throwing darts. But I already know Duke and Houston are going to be incredible. In fact, okay, I think they can both go back to the Final Four instantaneously.
Just remember, in today's day and age, things can change rather quickly. When we did this a year ago, when they opened these odds 1 year ago, Florida, who won last night, opened at 60-1. And they won the national championship because of how they rebuilt the team.
So you're saying the Hoosiers have a chance.
I'm saying that's less than what Florida. Florida was 60-1 a year ago when the season ended. And they won. So Indiana's 50. They got a chance. They got a shot.
And we got a chance.
Guys got to work the portal, and anything can happen over there in Bloomington.
I'm excited now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.